When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I look at Shea, it's the same thing as Ja Morant and all these other guys. And this is the other difference. When Shea has the ball, then it's time to cook and it's time to shoot. It's going to happen. There is no question about it. There is no easing into anything or nothing like that. This is what I do. I can get a buck. I'm getting to this mid-range. You're on an island with me. It's time to dance. Like, that's what it is. Assist be damned. Not really that. Like, I look at Shea, at least this is how I feel. Not really that concerned if Jalen Williams is in rhythm right now or feels a part of it. No, like, it's time to cook. And I'm a cook. And that's what I don't always see from Fox. And once again, the other thing, because this is kind of less about Fox and just kind of how you, your perception and how you view being a leader or taking responsibility for what's going on. And it's hard. It's difficult. It's not always fair. But in every situation, like right now, De'Aaron Fox, even Sabonis or DeRozan or whoever, they need to be looking at it like, what am I doing wrong? We're 13 mm-hmm. and 14.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with, what am I doing wrong? Is it defense? Am I not being assertive enough? Because the thought process, you're going to get to something, I would think. Because you can't be 13 and 14, be the guy, and you're doing everything right. I would say that can't be happening. Not necessarily saying that the numbers aren't good or anything else like that, but something I'm doing or not doing isn't clicking, isn't registering, and leading to winning. I got to figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I got to be more assertive. Maybe I'm yelling too much. Maybe I need to put my arm around a couple of guys.
Is that just placing blame just to place it, though? Because you're the top guy? Because, like, hey, Fox, go get Herter and Lyles in the gym and get him to shoot better than 35%.
But that's not the answer all the time, right? Like, the answer is they're shooting 28%. Maybe I should stop passing the ball to them so much.
Mm. But you can't do that, though, because, like, they're on the court. Like, none of these guys outside of the top four, Keegan is starting to play well. Like, none of these guys are, like, you have to. They just have, you have to. Well, you have to play with them.
But no, but what I'm telling you is, in that Nets game, I should have took 26 shots and not 16. I was the only one that could hit.
Mm-hmm.
16 shot attempts ain't enough, man.
DeRozan took 18. He was 7 of 18. Keegan took 14. He was 7 of 14. Domas took 12. He was 6 of 12. Again, De'Aaron, in the game you're talking about, was 10 of 16.
And it's not even like these guys suck. It's like, my guys ain't hitting. I need to step over. The way I would like to go about it, the way I normally go about it, where I get in there and we got the spray threes and kick, that's not working tonight. Third quarter, start of the fourth quarter come around, that's not working tonight.
I think that's fair.
Flip.
I think that's fair, but I'll push back a bit. I think we've seen that, but it's also not a sustainable way of winning for a basketball team. That's not going to take you anywhere. Like, I think if you put Luka or Tatum on this team, given everyone else is playing the same, they're probably maybe a playoff team, but they're not really reaching anything else.
Right, but this is but for a week we've had two different conversations. We've had a conversation about what this ceiling could be, or what we want, what we eventually, where we want to get to as people who watch the Kings and are Kings fans, and where we're at. For where we want to get, there's more players that we need to trade for. There's a mentality that needs to sit, all this other stuff. To be better than 13 and 14, it is real simple. They should be better than 13 and 14. They should, if it is 17 and 12 or 15 and 12 or whatever the number is, that's where they should be. 13 is unacceptable for the people that are on that roster right now and for the talent that they have. It is unacceptable. They should need not one extra person to walk through that door right now to be better than 13 and 14. It is unacceptable for what they have, who they have, who their best player is. That is something, to me, that is non-negotiable. Now, if you want to say, hey, to be where OKC is, this bench player and this person's mentality needs to be, sure, we'll listen to that. To be better than 13, to be four games better than what you are, they got everything they need right now, and they're not taking care of business. They got everything they need to be four games over 500.
We're turning on each other. I don't know. I think I disagree on all of it. Like, as far as Fox's part in this, I think I disagree. So, I don't think there's much more he can do where it's like, all right, the three games over 500. Like, I don't think there's much more he can do that's gonna amount to wins. Like,
so I would say this. If we think that they need more than to be more than five game or a game under 500, then what are we upset about? Like, what are we upset about?
Yeah.
And why didn't we say this before that? Starting in the season, this team is a 500 team. Nobody said
going into this year, yes, I was with you. I thought they could be a top six team. I thought they'd definitely be a top six. I said 50 wins at the least. But it's just, it's not because of the way Fox has played, DeMar's played. It's the way the others have played, I feel. That's why they're 13 and 14. It's not because of your top four guys. They show up.
It's a collective to me at 13 and 14. And like, they can't, I don't care if me and you go out there, Jesse. But
these dudes are like the Avengers trying to save the Kings every game. Like, that's why it's always so close, because there's just, it's four guys literally going up against NBA teams at this point.
Kyle said it earlier. You got two All-NBA guys. You've got a Hall of Famer that still puts up 20 a night. Yeah. You've got a guy, Malik Monk, that we say is the best sixth man in the league, mm-hmm. and has now gotten to the starting lineup and elevated that starting lineup. You got Keegan Murray, somebody who, for a bag of Doritos, people are going crazy about even thinking about trading them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Those five alone should get you two games over 500. Those five alone. Me, you, Isaac Jones, Mason Jones, and other guys on Kobe Jones on the damn bench. That team should be two games over 500.
What about Mark Jones?
Oh, we cooking. Mark Jones is there. You see a man on the rock?
What about Love Jones?
Well, we are... not hopeless.
Orange Juice like Jones.
Who's Orange Juice Jones? I know OJ Juice Man.
I saw you.
Oh, I always forget his name. I don't
walking
know why.
In the rain.
Does he have another song?
What about Special Delivery Jones?
I don't know who that is.
See, he got squashed by King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 1.
I would fast forward through that. The only thing I remember from WrestleMania 1 is Andre and Big John Studd, the Cyndi Lauper, and Hogan.
Okay.
Those are the only matches I remember. Like, and I feel like
that's... No, stop. Y'all are ass. Y'all couldn't keep the Jones thing going? You couldn't think of anyone else with the last name Jones? Just leaving me out here to figure out all the Joneses by
Mike
myself?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Oh.
I think at that point...
You didn't even sell it! God damn it, I hate this show!
Well, at that point, we're past 15 people on the roster.
Times are serious.
James and Jill said we could have 20.
Times are tough and tensions are high right now.
Man, tensions really are high. Got Devin over here going to party in Atlanta on New Year's Eve, and we trying to figure out what's going on with this King.
Coco Jones.
How did we just get here?
Look, I need to be...
Felix Jones.
Look, oh, now y'all want to play.
Marion Jones.
Wow.
Julius Jones.
Look, I need to look in the mirror and say, what can I do better? that we missed right there. We lost.
That's all right.
What did I do better? I do better?
That's amazing.
But yeah, no, they once again, I think it's two different conversations. They got enough to be better than what they are. And if you don't think so, then what are we upset for? Like, what are we up here throwing our hands up for?
That's why everyone's upset. Is like, this isn't if this was Shavano and Luke and Willie Cauley Stein, everybody would be elated to be one game under 500, you know, 20 something games into the season, but it's not. This is a team not only with expectations, but with pretty high expectations. It wasn't that long ago that 50 something wins was the floor. 50 something wins now seems outrageous. It's outrageous right now. This, like, no one, you know, Kyle was talking about the next five games. Got 4-1, 5-0. Bro, what team are you watching? They've done it. They just did it. They've done it once. Mm-hmm. You gonna ask this team to do it again? Okay. Better start. I mean, you have to start tonight.
Yeah.
And your 4-1 is still possible. Mm-hmm. You said 4-1 on this homestand. Well, okay. Well, now you gotta go 4-0 the remaining four games.
Good luck.
You've gotta beat the Lakers twice. I don't know what LeBron was just talking about, but it looked intense. I don't know why it was such a weird camera angle when I looked up, but
now I'm going to have to look for this.
I'm dying to know what LeBron James was talking about.
Is he at the Golden 1
Center? He must have been. He looked. He was in that that little room by the media area where the coaches talk.
Yeah,
that's where it looked like he was. Let me see LeBron. 4 million miles. Hey, LeBron, how special is it to play in Sacramento? You know your first game was here, LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Did they record this on the floor, like on the ground?
I told you it looked weird. I told you. I don't know what that camera angle was for.
Dave McMiniman has it. Is he on the ground?
Let me see if we can get Dave McMiniman's video up. Dave was
and I guess muted because our game, there's a lot of effing threes being shot. So.
Oh, all right.
It's a bigger conversation.
We won't air it. Yeah, oh, I see the quote. Yeah, good call. It is so weird. We'll show everyone the view. We can't play it, obviously, because LeBron
like
cusses.
It's either on the ground or he's at Rick Ross's dining room table. Like, why is it so far away?
Here is LeBron James at the Golden 1 Center. I don't know why it's shot like that. But this was the angle of the camera they were showing on NBA TV. I was like, what is happening up there? There's the old KCRA mic, the CBS 13 mic. Sure, that's Fox 40 up there.
Yeah. Brown Holden Court.
We can't play the clip because I just want to know. I'm gonna go see if it, maybe Sean was there to see if
the Kings were in the tunnel today.
Ahead of tonight's game, LeBron sits down to talk about approaching the NBA's all-time minutes mark. DeMar DeRozan, Kings asked about the new All-Star format. Okay, it's 9 minutes. Not playing it.
Kings are they're in the hallway.
It doesn't appear anyone asked about LeBron's first game in Sacramento. By the way, shout out to Sean Cunningham because that's Sean's view. I don't know why Dave McMiniman was struggling so much.
This
is professional. Come on. Sean Cunningham, ladies and gentlemen. Dave McMiniman shooting LeBron James like he an IG model on the floor trying to get the right angle. Come on, dog.
I feel like the Sacramento question, too, is when you ask him post-game. LeBron, what's it like?
No,
coming back to play here?
No, it's not a question you ask.
No, you don't ask him. But I'm saying they're gonna ask him after. That's when they ask him.
21 years. Don't ask him about playing in Sacramento.
I agree with you, but they're gonna ask him post game.
But now you gotta ask him.
No, you don't.
No, not tonight. But
I know what you're
Saturday,
gonna say.
And definitely next year, you gotta ask him.
Okay. No, I don't
next
think
year,
you have.
No,
to.
You gotta ask him.
You
it
only
could be the end.
Well, let it be the okay.
You gotta
well, no.
You shouldn't have asked him the last 17 years.
Well, that's the problem. You did.
But you got to ask him now.
If the NBA has any balls at all, every final road game of the Los Angeles Lakers season will be in Sacramento. Because they can't make the
next year.
They're starting next year. They can't make the last game in Sacramento. Right. It needs to be in L.A. Or if they really had balls, it'd be in Cleveland.
But we're asking LeBron this stupid-ass question. They play on a whole other side of town now or whatever. Like, LeBron has going from Arco to downtown Sacramento. It's not even the same spot anymore.
It's like they're begging for him to make an Atomus reference.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still eating at the same Chipotle I did back in 2003.
Hey, LeBron, you know there's like four Chipotles within half mile of the arena now.
Was Chipotle even in business when LeBron started?
Dude, it probably wasn't. I don't even know that Natomas was in business when LeBron James Natomas started.
Natomas still talking about they had the sign for Fridays.
I think that sign's still there, isn't it?
Oh, goodness. Fridays isn't even in business. Actually, I think there's like three Fridays in the country.
I have not taken that Truxell exit since I moved. I have no idea.
I take that every day. There.
Well, of course you do. You live there.
Yeah. So this is a bunch of Walmarts and stuff.
A bunch of Walmarts?
Over there.
Is there a Walmart over there?
Well, yeah, off the exit, off Truxell.
Really?
You've been gone that long.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. So it's Walmart on one side, Target on the other. That's right. Yeah, I knew that.
They all look like Walmart. They're all big blue buildings.
Target.
Target's on the other side.
Yeah.
Walmart's where the theater is. Target is on the other. It's just across. It's literally across
you're
the street.
Right, it is. Yeah, we're center court.
Where the Friday side was.
Yeah. Nations is over there now.
Shout out Nations. They got good apple pie.
I know what that is.
Oh, Nations be popping. Nations breakfast is fantastic.
I definitely don't know.
They got humongous burgers.
Only
all
Nation
that.
I breakfast recognize all day. Is Abdomination.
I'm trying to see is Friday still in business. I don't know if they are. I think there's maybe two in the country.
You're talking about like TGI Fridays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to one in my life. I've just seen commercials. I don't even know those really exist.
There's a new opening on Laguna Boulevard, too. They need to come back.
Oh, Fridays?
No, there's a building opening.
No, there's TGI Fridays is still in existence.
It feels like one of those.
Well, at least
the
website's
in existence.
Something.
How many? I'm going to go to locations.
No, hold on. Yep. Nine. I'm just going to hit Roseville and see.
We should probably go to break, huh?
Northridge? Oh, I don't know if there's one here. All of the Fridays in the Sacramento region are gone. I got you, Jesse. It's D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320. Deuce Mason's set to join us in 30 minutes. Excited for that, man. Can't afford Deuce and Mo anymore. Morgan is just way too
expensive.
Talent costs way too high.
Our salary cap doesn't.
Yeah. We've got a budget, but Deuce was kind enough to lower his appearance fee to come join us over here. So it'll be fantastic to have our guy Deuce back on the program coming up here at about 1:45. I was hoping to have him on yesterday. I didn't really want to bother him on a game day. He's got a lot of responsibilities today that he tends to. But he was like, hey, what about Thursday? I was like, speak on it.
Let's go.
Let's talk. So Deuce will be with us coming up in about 30 minutes. Matt George in the final hour of the show. Always excited to talk to our guy, Matt. Trista had an idea.
Trista was trying to get over on us.
I think she was. I think this was all a plot to make her Trailblazers better. But she was like, oh, thank you, Jesse. TK and my thoughts on what you two said are going to hold here for a minute because we want to talk to Leezy. Let's get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320. We'll start with our brother Leezy. Leezus, what's happening, baby?
Yo, D-Lo and KC. Hey, now say now. What's good, guys?
That's your jam right there.
Hey, now say now.
Hey, it's my. Hey,
I like it.
Right now.
I like it.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to call in and kind of talk. You guys are really dropping some gems today. I got to make some clips out of all of this. But I wanted to talk about, like, just the team in general. You know, why I don't understand coming into this season why the team is lacking motivation or staying locked in. Like, shouldn't this be the season where they should all be bought in? Like, last year the team didn't make the playoffs. This a year Fox could get his Supermax or whatever. Like, we shouldn't be having to talk about the team being motivated or even guys we can get on the trade block. Like, for years, we've been talking about getting Mikal Bridges, now Jeremy Grant, Kuzma. Like, the team is good enough to win now, like Casey was saying earlier. I just have one more question. With Fox, we all agree he has a skill set. He could be a superstar. But I don't understand why he's not having the impact like some of his peers. We all think he's better than Ja Morant. I agree. I don't know why Ja's team is doing better. I don't think it's because of Zach Edey or Jalen Wells. It's because they got Ja back. I don't understand why Fox isn't having that impact with this great roster.
Lots of good stuff there, Leezy. Let's start with the motivation part. I don't think this team is lacking motivation.
Yeah,
I don't think that's an issue.
I don't think they've played lethargic or anything all year long, to be honest with you. I feel like they've been locked in. I think the biggest thing for them, they've it hasn't been as much of an issue as of late, but they've had too many games where they just were bricklayers.
Yeah. I think sometimes we look at a game where teams are missing shots or maybe where they get frustrated when they miss a series of shots in a row and we start to question their effort. I think there are very few times with this Mike Brown incarnation of the Sacramento Kings that we question their effort. Mm-hmm. You can go back to previous regimes and question effort multiple times. Mm-hmm. I don't think, and I'm not just talking about Luke Walton and Alvin Gentry. I'm talking about for the last 15 years, you could like, these guys don't even want to play basketball today.
Yeah.
And that's very obvious. Missing shots or being frustrated that you miss shots or Aaron Gordon dunking 47 times in the first quarter, that's not an effort mm-hmm. question. Like, this team doesn't lack motivation. They don't lack effort. But to Leezy's other point, I am frustrated that we're, you know, 27 games into the season talking about, like, trades and, like, in improving the roster and That's obviously a clear-cut sign that things have not gone well. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that is frustrating. I don't know why the return of Ja Morant created such a turnaround for the Memphis Grizzlies, because I truthfully don't think the Memphis Grizzlies are better. Roster-wise, player for player, position for position, I don't believe that they're better. What they do have, though, that the Sacramento Kings do not, is an identity. The Grizzlies have an identity the Sacramento Kings don't have. And when you have an identity, it's something that if nothing else is going right, you can lean on. Guys, we're not hitting shots tonight. Ja's off. Jesus, King's perfect example.
Yeah.
Ja Morant sucked. That's all right. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Taylor Jenkins acting like a little bitch when I'm playing the Brooklyn Nets. I'm calling everybody in here saying, hey, what do we do? What do we do? Mm-hmm. We're tougher than them. We can push them around, and you know what? They won't do anything about it. Be tougher. You're going to need to hit shots at some point, but be tougher.
Yeah.
And they were. They were terrible against Sacramento. Awful. And their bench not only beat our ass, they beat their starting five's ass. And help Memphis walk away with a game that they should have lost at home. Mm-hmm. Because they have an identity. Kings don't have one.
I think the Kings have an identity. I think they do. I think they're afraid to lean into it. And for understandable.
What do you think that is?
They're under a high scoring offensive team.
Well, they're certainly leaning into that more.
Yeah, since But every time you turn around, say, they don't play no defense, and they're that's why they're not losing. They're not.
Is that them or us?
Mike Brown talks about it a lot, but it's probably more so us too. But
I can understand that to a certain degree. Like, they scored 129 points and lost.
Dude, it happened once or twice. Like, well, maybe more. We're not locked in. But how many times did Rick Carlisle complain about defense last year?
I don't know.
You know, I remember one sign specifically.
This season showing Rick Carlisle was like, man, I can't believe this is happening.
Right. But that was what they did. Mm. They went out. They got up and down. They outscored you. They would – I'm not advising this. I'm not saying, like, this is how it should be. But they take the ball out of the net and try and beat you down the court.
Yeah.
And they leaned all the way into that. Whether it was right, whether it was championship basketball or whatever, they said, this is who we are, and we're going to be the best version of who we are. And I think the Kings, like what they've done since Malik Monk has gotten into the lineup,
mm-hmm.
I think that's who they are. That's their identity, and they should lean into it a little bit more. You know, ask and be who they – like, they're not even bad on the defensive end. You know what I mean? Like, they're not awful. Are they a team that can win a championship with this defense? No. But they're not what they were a year ago. Mm-hmm. Hell, to be honest with you, they weren't what they were 2 years ago when they were a quote-unquote better team. Mm-hmm. That team couldn't defend to save their life. Yeah. But they were a timely defensive team, and they were a tough team.
That's right.
And I see the same makeup with this group. It just hasn't had the same results in the win column. Like, I do think this team is tough. Like we just talked about. I do think they stay kind of locked in from game to game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I've never thought about their effort or their focus this year. Not once. I haven't thought about that.
I'm with you.
You know, I just think they haven't always played up to their capabilities for one reason or another. But I've never, you know, Debo to Jake Moody, lock in. Like, I've never felt like they had that type of issue.
Things have gone really well since Debo did that.
Well, shout out Debo. Debo might be starting a running back. Fifth running back of the year goes down for the 49ers. I saw that earlier. We could talk about that later, but
we're not. There's no point. We could talk about it tomorrow when Kyle's with us, but even at that, we probably still
won't.
What
are we going to say?
Yeah, like, hey, cool. Like, Trent Williams isn't going to play again, probably.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
Playing out the string doesn't matter. At this point.
That's it. That's it. Hell. It doesn't matter. Sit Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Don't even bother. Like, what are we? There's no point in this anymore.
I guess you play him.
How many games are left? Three? Maybe play him this week.
I mean, and you have to play him because you're not
mathematically out. Yeah. Sure. I got you.
Can we get some Brandon Allen versus Snoop Huntley this week?
Who?
Tyler Huntley. Snoop Huntley.
Name. Oh, I was about to say, I never heard of Snoop. That's his nickname.
Yeah.
Missionary.
Shout out Missionary.
Always. underrated.
Taken for granted.
I think so.
Times, you know what I mean?
Think so.
But
just got to play it at the right volume. You know, be good.
You know, find the right slot.
Okay, that's I didn't even know way to, like, all right. It's the name of Dr. Dre and Snoop's new album.
That's it. Play it in the right car. That's what I mean.
That's it. There you go. Play it in the right car. That's it. Turn the volume up and enjoy.
This Kings team, though, like, I think their identity is that of an offensive team. And a lot of people probably don't like it. And they'll tell you, like, it just can't win with that. That's not how you win championships and all this mm-hmm. stuff. Hey, we trying to get five games over 500.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll worry about championships later.
Yeah,
let's lean into what is the best way, I think the best way for them to win, and try and get something going. Because, I mean, nobody kind of wants to talk about this because this is not, I don't want to say it's not sexy, but they kind of went all in, you know, whether the hand was forced or last ditch effort, went all in on offense. Putting Malik Monk in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And what if they won, like 4-6?
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe it's a little
less. No, you're right.
Because they lost against San Antonio.
They lost this first game.
So it might be like 5 of 8 or something like that.
Yeah, they lost this first game.
They haven't lost a bunch of games since they did that, you know. And I think that's the best course of action for this group. They like lean into that offense.
Let's what was his first game? It was San Antonio, right? Yeah, it was that San Antonio game. Let's get 1, 2, 3. They're 4-3.
Mm.
Let's get TC in here. TC, what's going on, baby?
Man, what's up with my two brothers?
What up, TC?
Oh, man, just vibing, you know, tapping in with the homies.
Yes, sir.
And so the identity, right, as this team is like, so D-Lo, I'm 100% with you, though, with Fox. Like, bro, you just got to do it. Like, I don't want to, like, poo-poo on him or, you know, talk bad about Fox. But, hey, bro, you got to do it. Like, the difference between Fox and Morant is always in killer mode. Fox is always like, I'm going to be a killer second quarter. But the third quarter, I'm going to be a kickback guy. And then maybe middle third quarter, I might be a killer. The fourth quarter, I'm going to be a guy with a lawn chair kicking back. Like, no, bro, you got to stay in killer mode. Like, we're not asking you to go 60, right? But you got to be in killer mode all the time. That's what Mike was talking about. And I respect Mike, bro. That's why I say Mike ain't the problem, man. Mike is telling these dudes and trying to get these dudes right. They need to listen and go forward. Like you said, Fox, bro, you could be a superstar, but you need to be on all the time. Not on when you feel like it or not on somebody got to make you mad. You own, like, no, bro, you got to be on like Jordan. Like, Kobe, like, you got to be on. Like, even like a Luka, like, you got to be on all the time, dog. So I get it. As far as the identity, I think we need to just take a rough and tough identity, not like Houston and Udoka, but like a, you know, like a gritty team. You know what I'm saying? Get under the skin.
That's not who they are, TC. That's not the makeup of the players. That's not the makeup of the players. The players are scorers.
I know, but you can score and you also can be a tough team at the same time.
I don't think they're soft right now. Like, I don't think they're soft. I think, I'm not saying you said that, TC, but, and appreciate you, TC, but I don't think they're a soft team. I don't think they're not physical. I mean, Domantas Sabonis is one of the more physical players in the game. Yeah. Malik Monk ain't no punk. Debo is Debo for a reason.
Right.
Like, they're not a, they're not,
let's
a
not
team.
Act like De'Aaron is a sucker.
Exactly. Exactly. He'd get after it.
Keegan might need to choke someone out at some point, but other than that,
can you imagine Keegan getting in the best up?
If he hits him, if he hits him with the Trey Lyles, puts his hand around his throat like Kane. Oh my God!
Speaking of those two, Trey Lyles,
the Golden One center might literally explode.
Oh,
if that ever
crazy.
Happened. If Keegan,
we would go crazy.
If Keegan reacted, just like grab someone's jersey, it doesn't matter. Like nothing could happen. The arena would erupt.
Speaking of those two, Trey Lyles not on the injury report today. And,
okay.
Keegan said earlier he's playing tonight.
He did. Yeah, I have that clip pulled up if you wanted to play it. But yeah, okay. Keegan Murray.
Keegan Murray saying, "I'm going to play tonight. I tweaked my ankle in the Houston game, and then it kind of swelled up on me. But you know, the team needs me, and I'm ready to play. I'm a warrior." And
no, you're a king.
I am a king. Thank you, D'Lo.
Okay, stop.
And I'm ready to play tonight.
Okay, now tell me if you can hear the difference.
What's up, sir?
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. That's funny. That's funny.
How are you feeling? I'm good.
I'm kind of mad. That's funny.
That was moving up the rankings.
On the court tonight.
How did that happen?
Keegan talks like he's trying really hard not to move his mouth. Like, almost like he's got a ventriloquist dummy somewhere, and he's just trying to answer Sean's question without actually moving his mouth.
It was a Houston game. I jammed my foot, and I'd just been playing through it. Then the night before, we played Denver, swelled up on me. So then it was just at a point where I just couldn't go.
Does that kind of teach you a lesson at all?
Yeah, I stopped playing through injuries. But, I mean, I don't know. I felt good enough to play those games, and I think it just caught up to me.
Since then, what's the process been like? What have you been able to do and getting back to trying to get back to going?
It's pretty much just been trying to stay off of it, to be honest, just get the swelling down. These last couple of days, and we're able to get down to a point where I'm comfortable enough to play. So I think that's where I'm at. So I'm just excited to get back on the court.
It seemed like in that Denver game that they used your size and physicality. I mean, is it tough for you to sit there and sort of watch that?
Yeah, it's tough being at a spot where you aren't able to affect the game, especially in ways I know I can affect the game. So it's obviously tough watching that game, especially in when, you know, you could have had an impact on it.
It's very funny when Keegan says he's excited for something. Like, it'll never not be funny. Like, I get it's 4 years of this or whatever, 3 years. It's funny every time.
It is.
Like, he is just the driest human being on the planet, and it's terrific. Like, if he was any other way, it would be weird.
I wonder if Keegan is Keegan-y, like, when the cameras are off or like at home with the family, like Christmas when the Murrays get together or something like that. Is he joking around or anything like that? I wonder.
Me too. I mean, he did tell Mike F you once, right?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And Mike was like, "That's what I'm talking about."
It hasn't happened since. Here's Domas.
How are you feeling?
Feeling better, for sure. Yeah.
Tomas, I hate this. Ask your stupid-ass questions. I don't want to do this.
Much better. I mean, what was the last 20?
If he gives an answer longer than 10 seconds, I'll give you $20.
And why are we in the hallway?
It was good. You know, just a bit sore after the game, but Yeah, I'm feeling better.
Is there much that, you know, you have to see what happens between now and tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll just, you know, go out there, shoot, and see how I feel.
If you don't mind, what were you feeling when you're back?
Just soreness, the whole back, you know, bruises.
He hasn't had an answer longer than 5 seconds.
I feel like you guys are coming into this. You got 3 home games in 4 nights. What kind of stretch is this considering the home record?
It's big. You know, we haven't protected home court as much as we wanted, you know, so we have another chance tonight. And then, like you said, 3 and 4 nights.
Oh, my God.
That was 10. That was 10.
I got 7. I got 7.4.
Oh, so it was clear. It was clear. So I owe you nothing.
I got to 9.
Okay, I owe you nothing.
Yeah.
I owe you nothing.
That was right at the buzzer. That was right at the buzzer. He caught you. He said that right at the buzzer.
I heard him winding it down. I said, come on, don't do this, dumbass.
I got nine.
I was sweating.
I got the official on the phone. It's 7.45.
I was sweating. Woo! Okay.
Damn it.
Will Domas give an answer longer than 10 seconds?
Move beyond it all?
I mean, we watch film, you know. We didn't start off great, but there were a lot of good things that we did throughout the game. So, you know, we got to build off those things and learn from our mistakes.
Oh, my God! That's
my boy!
Just defense, you know. I think they said we held them to 34 points, you know, until the last 3 minutes or whatever it was, you know, and when they made 20. So, you know, if we can focus on those little things.
No.
Oh, yes, my boy!
Just what do you think needs to be cleaned up to improve?
Just our end game execution, you know. It starts from the top to the bottom, you know, from coaches to players to everyone, you know. We're all in this together.
Lakers coming into town, you got 2 games in a row against them. What stands out to you about that team?
You know, they're very talented. Very talented any given night, you know. We got to be at our best to beat them, you know. So
get out, Tomas.
We're gonna be locked in for tonight.
Come on!
He said on the bit, bro.
We've only played them once. It was early in the season, you know. But they're playing good basketball, you know. They have 2 of the best players in the league, you know. So it's obviously gonna be a
No!
Yeah! That's my boy! Come on, man!
No, Domas is in there. Like, I can talk whatever, but this can't go past 10 seconds. He's cutting it off at the buzzer every time.
That's my boy right there.
This is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Shout out.
That's got to be a new game.
Oh, that's 100% the new game.
Shout out, Domas.
That was it. That was,
can't believe it.
That was a minute and 54 second clip from Sean Cunningham where Domas did not give an answer longer than 10 seconds.
Woo! But for like some of them, all right, he's going to talk longer. He's about 15, 20 seconds here. And it's like, oh, no, 10 seconds here. Let me cut this off.
He's got the internal clock. Yeah. Did you see that that game the Kings social media played where they had to start the timer on the phone and not look at it and try to get 10 seconds? It was fascinating.
It was the Kings that did it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
I don't think anybody really got close. I didn't see the whole video, but it would be like,
they'd start the clock and they'd go, okay, tell me when we're
so
at
like
10
if
seconds.
I said tell me when to start,
uh-huh,
and I'll start it, go ahead, do
start
that. And then you try to get to 10 seconds,
so tell you when you're at 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. But they were looking at it too, like they were like looking away.
Now
9.6.
Ah!
It was great. They had some people with like 6 seconds. I'm like, come on,
bro. Oh, man.
How
come
you do
on.
That? It's great stuff.
That's fun. Yeah, that's the new Domas bit. That's tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. Whew, I get to keep my $20 too.
Damn,
Lord
man.
Knows I need it.
It's broke, man.
I'm tuning into the next Domas press conference to see if one of us, if KC wins $20.
So we got
20 of Damian's money.
Domas 10 second challenge.
I think it's payday.
We got,
I think it's payday. Hey, Domas. Hey, this legit my new favorite game. Domas not giving
it's
an
right,
answer.
It's right up there with the De'Aaron Cuss game.
De'Aaron Cuss game. Hey, shout out to everybody who got that direct deposit. Shout out to everybody who needed that check to hit before they went out and did the rest of their Christmas shopping.
Notice that I'm not going till tomorrow.
Most of all. Shout out to everybody tapping in. We're dealing with KC. Come on.
All right, we need the money today. We're going to come back. Deuce Mason returns to the show.
Lego.
We'll talk some Kings basketball with Deuce next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Back here with Deuce Mason, who is not live from the Deuce and Mo podcast studio. He's joining us from his car because...
Which is a studio.
As he said, there was jackhammering going on outside
Whoa, that's what he said. Well, hey, yo, that's just what it is.
That's just what it is? Look, I'm trying to convey to the radio audience...
We don't really throw flags on gas. Do we want to set that precedent?
He said it.
Wow.
It's true.
Wow. Will you grow up, pal?
Play on.
This is why Deuce is sick of you. This is why Deuce says you're killing me right now. First of all, welcome back. We're thrilled that you're here with us. Your podcast partner is out doing some great work in Orlando, so she's going to obviously miss our conversation and miss the next couple of Kings games, but you're gonna hold everything down for the pod. And you said Kenny is killing you, so let's start with it because that's my life, pal.
Yeah. Kenny, yes, you keep talking about the offense. Lean into the offense. That's what they're doing. They're 4-3 since Monk entered the starting lineup, which was the right move. Mm-hmm. Number one in offense, 3 in scoring, 9th in 3-point percentage, 3rd in assists, fewest turnovers per game. It's not the offense. It's think we like get into this mode where we're like, oh man, why aren't they doing this? Oh, closing games. It's the same issues we all know. They don't have enough size. And when you have a game where Keegan doesn't play and Trey doesn't play and Herter, all those guys are, that's like the size you have on the team. Everyone's 6'7" and above. And then you've got people like DeMar DeRozan trying to check Aaron Gordon or Doug McDermott on Porter. They can't get stops. And then last game, you know, they're ball watching like crazy, getting backdoored left and right, pause. And then 76 points in the paint. It's not the offense. It's like they need to clean up defensively, one. Two, they just need more size. It's all the stuff we've been talking about for like 2+ years.
Yeah. Before you respond, Casey, please, before you respond, because Deuce needs this information too. From Sean Cunningham, according to sources, Keegan Murray, DeMontis Sabonis, Kevin Herter will all be available to play tonight.
Good.
When the Kings host the Lakers. However, Trey Lyles did experience some soreness this morning. He will get treatment prior to the game and is now listed as questionable. There was a lot of positive momentum with Trey Lyles in recent days. As just yesterday, he talked about being ready to return to action from his calf strain. Kings downgrading him to questionable is out in abundance of caution, I'm told. Again, that's courtesy of our friend Sean Cunningham at Fox 40. I thought that was important enough to pass along. Go ahead, Casey.
Absolutely. Look, like I always say, it's a number of different things, right? It's not one simple thing. But I'm gonna ask you right now. This is all I'm saying. What is the best? This is who it is. You don't know if anybody's going to trade with you. You don't know if anything's going to happen. What is the best course of action for this team to win?
This is what they're doing, and this is what it's going to look like. They're going to have moments where they have awesome scoring outputs, but in a tight game, what's a good team going to do? Denver went Jokic, Murray pick and roll, and they went 7 of 7, 21 points in the final 3:55. You can't get one or two stops. You get one or two stops, you win the game.
Real quick, to be fair to the conversation, and I think people miss this when we talk about this specific game. Denver didn't stop nobody. They left open a wide open DeMar DeRozan, and he fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
Denver didn't stop nobody. They made one more shot than the other.
No, and I'm with you. Denver has their own issues. I'm just talking about Sacramento's perspective, though. It's like they have to find a way to get – there's too many stretches where it's – like that first quarter, it was too easy. Mm-hmm. They got inside the paint at will, second chance opportunities, backdoor layups, and it's like these things are actually correctable with some of the guys on the roster too. Like you should not be ball watching the entire game, like just staring at Jokic and allowing your man to get behind you and have an easy score at the rim. Like that, those are things. If that happens once or twice, sure, but you got to be locked in. So there, I think there are details that they can just clean up internally that will help. But I think long term, like sure, they can score and it's fun. I love the changes they've made with Monk in the lineup and how he's been playing and what that's done for everybody. It's also helped that now that like the last 5-6 games that Murray and Herter are closer to 40% from three. So I think you're seeing like the best version. Now they got to figure out a way to clean up those details. And I don't think it's there yet.
Real quick, mm-hmm. Just fundamentally, yes, defense needs to be better. It just needs to be better in general with this team. But once again, when I say lean into the offense, I'm talking about what you have. Like, we can't keep wishing upon a star for some random person that's going to come here and change everything. You have what you have. What is the best course of, if you were the coach, the personnel you have, what is the best course of action that you can get the most out of the personnel you have? And that's all I'm saying.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. I mean, like I said, since Monk's been in the lineup, they're scoring 126 a game. They're
above 500.
Their offense is clicking right now. It's can they – and the other thing, too, I would say, is the one area in closing with the offense I want to get better is I felt like in that Denver game – they missed some good looks, but also, like, we can't have a quarter where Monk only gets two shots. He's too important. And I feel like I understand DeMar and Fox are the clutch guys and the closers. That's fine, but it doesn't have to be force fed to them either. Just run your offense. Let's get a good look. I know Malik Monk with the ball in his hands can create for others. I know he can create an awesome ISO situation for DeMar DeRozan. I know he can get Fox a catch and shoot opportunity. I go into the – we talk about the Jokic-Murray pick and roll being lethal. I think the Sabonis-Monk pick and roll is lethal, and there's so much that you can get out of that. So do more of that down the stretch games too. Mm-hmm.
So, Deuce, you are of the belief that this roster is good enough to get where they want to go. They just need to fine-tune some things internally?
No, I mean, I think this is – no, I don't. I think they have to make a move.
Okay.
I don't think it has to be like a massive swing for a star or anything like that. I mean, I think they could add – Dorian Finney-Smith would help this team dramatically. Mm-hmm. Like, he would come in, and plus he has a toughness. He's a dog. Like, he talks. Like, I love that type of personality. People talk about Cam Johnson. I think it's just going to be too expensive, you know. I've heard the Keegan conversation too. I just don't see how trading Keegan for a Jeremy Grant or a Cam Johnson makes sense. Like, to me, I need Keegan on this team and add with Keegan, not give up Keegan. I think he has been really good defensively, although, you know, there's been some games throughout this stretch where I don't think he's looked good. I don't know how much that is because of his foot. But I think overall, he has meant a lot to this team defensively and rebounding. And getting another wing would be nice because you don't have to play this guy 40 minutes a night. Like, got to take some pressure off of him and Sabonis. They just need more size.
They do. I think they need to get where they want to go and the expectations that they have for themselves and that a lot of us had for them. Yeah, they probably do need some help. I don't think they need any help to be better than what they are right now. Like, they have enough to be 500. They don't need to go get somebody else out there. And once again, if they need to go get somebody else to be 500, then what were we talking about for months about this team? Like, why were we excited? Mm-hmm. Why were we hyped up? Because the roster was the roster at that point, and when everybody was like, this thing, oh, man, we're excited, we got DeRozan. Like, and then what are we upset for? Because we should have known at that point they ain't got enough to be a 500 team. Like, anybody say that? Are they enough to – do they have enough to be a 500 team? Nobody was saying that 2 months ago.
No, you're right on that. And, I mean, yeah, they have enough to do that, but I'm talking about, like, raising expectations a little bit. I know it's like, hey, just get back to the playoffs again. That's a great goal. Yeah, but I think everybody wants more than that. You didn't get DeMar DeRozan just to get back to the first round of playoffs. I think you have to continue to tinker. And, yeah, I was excited about DeRozan, too. I was excited what he could bring. I still love what he has brought to the team. But I think we all acknowledge that they still have the same weaknesses. Like, that's the problem is, like, we were all going, okay, is there anything else? Is there going to be another wing? Like, what's going to happen? And, yeah, this team should be good enough. We saw the record with 3-9 in games decided by 5 points or less. Like, there's plenty of swing games in there. I don't think the Monk injury early on helped things. He missed 7 games. DeRozan misses some games. This stretch is just important, right? Like, this stretch until they leave for Boston. They don't go outside California until they play Boston on January 10th. Mm. There's a lot of games in Sacramento, some in L.A., one in San Francisco. You have to take advantage of this opportunity ahead and start. Like, you got to win probably the next 3 games, right? Mm-hmm. You got the Lakers twice and the Pacers. you got to win all three of these games and start winning at home, because that's the other thing. It's like this home record's a joke. You're not a playoff team if you're below 500 at home.
No, you're definitely not. And when you're a game below 500, when you're two games below 500 at home, it has a lot of people asking questions. And one of them is about De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox on the Draymond Green show. Mike Brown seemingly talking to De'Aaron Fox directly through you guys at his media scrum yesterday. What did you make of what Mike had to say? And do you think he has a point about De'Aaron Fox? Does De'Aaron need to find that next gear, so to speak?
Yeah. I mean, if De'Aaron, first of all, I love what Mike said, and Mike's been pretty consistent about challenging De'Aaron since he got here. I think Mike Brown has helped elevate De'Aaron to another level. I think he's gotten more out of him, maybe realized what Fox is capable of. And I loved what he said, because some of the issues in that Denver game, it's like you're looking at De'Aaron a little bit like, hey, man, when you come out and set the tone defensively, when you're like getting after guys and you're talking and you're chippy, everybody's thriving off that. The people in the arena, your teammates, you're getting stops, you're getting out and running, you're playing your best basketball. But when you're getting carved up, someone's got to like take responsibility. And if you want to be like elite in this game, then you got to do it consistently. I mean, I think he's a beyond talented player, but to be a superstar in this league, you have to do it literally 95% of the nights you play. And I think there are times we watch and go, man, De'Aaron could have just turned it on a little earlier. And it's not to say that that's an easy thing to do, right? That's what makes the superstar special, is because they have the ability to fight through the mental fatigue, the physical, wear and tear when you're playing. And there's so much pressure on Fox to push the pace, get to the basket, hit shots, play defense. But that's what it's about, like, if you want to reach that greatness. So I like that Mike challenged him, and I guarantee you he said it probably a little more in his face, like, when they were one-on-one with each other. And I expect De'Aaron to show up in a big way tonight. And as far as what De'Aaron said on Draymond saying, to me, it's nothing new, and it doesn't surprise me. I think he would love to get a Supermax. That would be awesome.
But I
also think, that's a lot of money, right? And so I knew he wasn't going to sign the extension. That would be a dumb business decision. And then for him, yeah, he's at the phase of his career, 27, 28, his birthday's tomorrow. Like, he's thinking long-term, going, okay, I want to win. Am I going to be able to do it here? Are they going to put enough around me? I watched them draft Davion Mitchell and Tyrese Halliburton when I was here. I heard my names in trade rumors. I had coaching change after coaching change. We're finally in a good spot, but, like, can we accelerate this a little bit? Mm-hmm. And it's concerning, like, long-term, because I want Fox to be here, but I think he can control what his play on the court, and then hopefully the front office can, add to and tinker with this lineup and this team to take them to another level.